With WMUK, I'm Robbie Feinberg. You might not know Chris von Alsberg's name, but you know his words. You may even read them to your children or grandchildren on chilly holiday nights. The Grand Rapids-born author has written books like Jumanji and The Polar Express, which have been shared around the world, and he's won two prestigious Caldecott medals. Von Alsberg is coming to Western Michigan University's Little Theater on Sunday to present the new 30th anniversary edition of The Polar Express. Von Alsberg started off our conversation by describing his childhood in the suburbs of Grand Rapids and how the scenery made its way into his book.
Since it's a story about my, in a way, about my childhood, it seemed natural that the story would be set there. It wasn't specifically Grand Rapids, but it was certainly the kind of neighborhood that I remember living in as a child, and so that seemed to be the natural place to set the story.
So I would love if you could take me through how the Polar Express came together. Where did the idea first spring from?
I'm often sort of motivated by images that I see in my imagination, something held in my mind's eye, and for some reason while I was contemplating writing a story, which I had no idea would be about Christmas, I just happened to see this image in my imagination, which was a large steam engine. And I imagined this train standing there perfectly still in a snowy woodland setting, snow falling, and it was stationary, only had a couple of cars in it, and there were lights in the cars. And that was all I saw. I thought, as an image by itself, I found that provocative. So I imagined myself approaching the train and wondering why the train was there. And as I approached it, I started thinking about, well, maybe this is a train that's actually waiting for me, and what's unusual about the train is that it can go anywhere. And then I thought a little bit longer about it, and I said, well, if this is a train that can go anywhere, and it's winter, where would I want to go? And I thought a little bit longer. I said, well, maybe if it's not just generally winter, maybe it's a particular day in winter. And then as I thought, well, gosh, what if it was Christmas Eve? And I was going to get on a train and I could go anywhere, where would I want it to go? And I decided, well, the North Pole would be a really great destination.
When it came to, for the Polar Express, putting pen and ink and, I guess, paint and all of those to paper and creating the book, how easy was that process for you? What was it? Is it a process that just required, you know, image just went straight to page, or did it require planning? How did that come around?
Even though I can describe a sort of process that I went through with the Polar Express, it was in some ways more kind of instantaneous. Once I got to the point that I believed this train that I was imagining could take me anywhere and it would take me north, it seemed to be a story that was completed with that simple idea. You know, I mean, it may sound kind of corny, but you know, the story seemed to be waiting there for me. I didn't have to really work hard at it, wonder what happened next. It just seemed to be there. And maybe that's not so hard to believe. It is such a simple story. But as I say, I didn't have to think about what happened next. And in that sense, it felt more like I was remembering something than that I was making something up. That it was always in my head. I just had to have some idea that made me start, you know, thinking about it a little bit, and then all I had to do was open up a little door and go with it.
So this interview comes as you've released the 30th anniversary edition of The Polar Express. What is it about the book that you think resonated with so many people?
I obviously been asked that a lot, and I can't say for sure. I mean, I'm certainly gratified that it has turned out that way. To say it has this message that's a little bit about, I suppose, faith and belief, and as I already pointed out, kind of a coming of age. And I think there's something very poignant about that that sort of transitional moment in kids' lives when they don't know whether or not they should believe the story that their parents have told them, or for that matter, that they've heard all their lives up to that point. You know, the book sort of addresses, well, absolutely addresses that. And I think because of that, it's a story that ends up being not only exciting for children based on simply the action, but the kind of subtextual elements there of, of this kind of coming in age, because you don't like to see it when it happens with your children. When you certainly don't want your kid to be getting their driver's license and still, you know, believing in Santa Claus. But on the other hand, as long as they still believe that, there's something, you know, kind of sort of appealing and innocent about the ability to do that, you know. And when your children stop doing it, you see them sort of growing up quite quickly, right before your eyes, you know, maybe in the space of a week before Christmas, and they start asking questions, you know. So the book kind of addresses that, and you know, I've always hoped that one of the results of the or one of the effects the book might have is if it slightly advanced the age at which a child stops believing. That if reading this book for all their life and up to their 8th, 9th birthday, whatever, if it bought them one more Christmas reading this book, then I would feel really great about that.
So I feel like 30 years after the Polar Express came out, we're kind of at a strange place in media, I guess, right now, with this huge growth in ebooks and technology. For you as a children's book author who you spend so much time crafting these illustrations, what's your feeling on kind of the changes that we're seeing right now?
Well, I'm not terribly enthusiastic about it. And it's not because I have a, you know, strong negative feeling about kids getting information or young people getting information off a screen rather than a printed page. But, you know, when you read off a device, you have a tendency not to interact with the person you're with when you're looking at a picture book as a child with your parent or some adult or some older child. You know, it's not kind of as social. I mean, if you watch a child with an iPad in their hand looking at something, it's a completely different sort of activity than a child sitting next to an adult turning pages together and looking at the picture. So that seems to me to be, you know, a kind of a deficit in getting children's books off a device. The other reality is that devices end up having to format all books to the same format, which means that they all have to sort of fit the screen. They all have to be designed to fit the screen. And the result is, you know, that all books end up being pretty much alike. The variety of the experience is really flattened out by looking at it on a device, because in the physical world, in the world of paper and ink, books can be big, books can be small, books can be on shiny paper, they can be on vellum paper. And so there's this whole kind of sensory experience that also gets eliminated by digital consumption of the thing. And so I'm not enthusiastic about it. I mean, it's not a totally opposition to technology. It's just I don't think it's the best way for kids to get their illustrated books.
That's author Chris von Allsburg. He'll present the 30th anniversary edition of his Christmas classic, The Polar Express, on Sunday at 2 p.m. at Western Michigan University's Little Theater. For WMUK, I'm Robbie Feinberg.